That's not. What's really funny is the fucking bank job away in Sea Caucus. I'm in the middle of the fucking weeds, laying down. He comes over. He says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm resting." Here you're resting. Got a fucking beach in a park. I said, "I'm resting. I know I'm resting. I'm resting." They pull me in. They start giving me all kinds of questions. You know, this and that. He says, "Oh, so what are you gonna tell us, tough guy?" I said, "My usual. Zero. Nothing. I tell you the fuck." He says, "No, you're gonna tell me something today, tough guy." I said, "All right. I'll tell you something. Go fuck your mother." Bing, pow, boom, bing. You saw the paper, Anthony. My head was up like this. So now I'm coming around, you know. I start to come out of it. Who do I see in front of me? This big prick again. He says, "Oh, what do you want to tell me now, tough guy?" I said, "Bing, what are you doing here? I thought I'd tell you to go fuck your mother." I thought he was going to shit. Pow, bing, pow. The fuck is... Hey, I wish I was big just once.
You're a really funny. Really funny.
What do you mean I'm funny?
It's funny, you know. It's a good story. It's funny. You're a funny guy.
What do you mean? You mean the way I talk? What?
Just, you know, you're just funny. It's, you know, the way you tell the story and everything.
Funny how? I mean, what's funny about it?
Tommy, no, you got it all wrong.
Oh, oh, Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how? What?
Just, you know, you're funny.
You mean, let me understand this, because I, you know, maybe it's me, I'm a little fucked up, maybe. But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
I'm not just, you know how you tell a story, what?
No, no, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. How the fuck am I funny? What the fuck is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny.
Get the fuck out of here, Tommy.
You motherfucker. I almost had him. I almost had him. You stuttering prick. Frankie, was he shaking?
What up, though? This your boy DOC, and I gotta give a special shout out to everybody that's tuned in to the No Offense Podcast, the one and only. We got a special guest on the platform today. He goes by the name of Dusty McFly, aka Fleas. I need everybody that's tuning in to go ahead and check him out, see what he got going on. In this interview, we're going to cover everything from A through Z, from the beginning to end, and everything in between. Before we start, I definitely got to give a special thanks to everybody that's been sharing the podcast on your social medias. Off top, we got to give much love to everybody that's been supporting. So let's go ahead and jump into it. What up, though? This your boy DOC, and I got a very special guest on the line today. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and where you come from.
What up, though? This your man's Dusty McFly, hailing all the way from Detroit City, you know what I'm saying? Gator Capital, you feel me?
Word. First off, I gotta tell you, man, I greatly appreciate you coming on. And you know, before we jump into you know, like the backstory comes, since it's the first time coming on this particular platform, I wanted to ask you, like, what all for the people do you have, like, going on right now, that the things that you want them to automatically go check into right now as far as music videos, websites, or anything like that?
We'll definitely go check out the new music, man. I just dropped a project in March called Buffy's and Benihana's 3. It was the third installment from the Buffy's and Benihana series. You know what I'm saying? So I dropped that in March. I got a couple videos out right now, visuals. One called Motion, one called Get To It. It's on my YouTube page, Dusty McFly TV on YouTube. I just launched my clothing line, my fashion line this year, man, which is Turtle 150. I'm going hard with that right now. And we can talk about that, you know, during the podcast, man. It's a backstory to that, and pretty much that's really what I'm doing right now, what I'm going hard with. Is other than that, I do got some other things brewing, though, you know what I'm saying, but it just ain't really transpired yet. But for right now, that's what the people and your fans, your audience, can go check out right now if they not familiar with who Dusty McFly is.
Word for sure. Well, you definitely, you know, for me, knowing about you, you know, been on the scene for a nice minute of time, and I feel like as long as you've been in the game and the work that you put in, you know, a vet in the game, especially from Detroit, you know, I want to ask you, in between this whole time, like in hindsight of looking back at your career, what do you think some of your biggest peaks were and some of your biggest valleys?
Definitely as far as peaks, like definitely when I dropped I'm Out Here, which was my single that really just skyrocketed my career in Detroit and surpassed Detroit, actually. You know what I'm saying? Just being able to have a song on the radio, listen to us, you know, hear your song on the radio every day in actual rotation.
Right.
Both of the main urban stations, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, get the love from the city. You know, I had been doing it prior to that, years prior to that, you know, but that's probably like one of the biggest peaks. I mean, it's a lot of ups and downs, but definitely that's like one of the, that started it all off. I can say that, you know, that started the Dusty McFly brand worldwide. You know what I'm saying? I was going to Cali, people, you know, knew who I was. I was going to Chicago, Atlanta, Miami, New York, and, you know, people knew who I was. So that was definitely like a high point in my career. As far as downs and valleys, man, you know, that's always with everything, you know what I'm saying? Any business you in, especially me, because I come from the independent grind, you know what I'm saying? Like, even with me, you know, getting a record deal, I was still moving as an independent artist, you know what I'm saying? Because if you know anything about the record labels, they don't really do nothing or push you for real, unless you like really, really super, super boiling hot, you know what I'm saying? And I was boiling hot, but I had a little situation where what my deal was, I was signed to Warner Brothers, but they kind of had dropped their whole urban division. So my A&R went to Atlantic, and, you know, he brought me over there, but nobody in that office really knew who I was like that, because they weren't the people who signed me. So that was one of the, I could say one of the downsides of my career, because, but it was also a learning experience. So I took an L, but I call it a lesson, because I got to understand what was happening in the building, which is the label, you know what I'm saying? And how everything operate in there, you feel me? So even though, you know, it didn't go as I planned or I wanted it to go, it still helped me in somewhat of a way, you know what I'm saying? Because it helped me, it's guided me through my independent career, which I had already been on, you feel me?
Right. So basically, like, going to a whole new place, it's like that. Like, if you go to a new label, you in the building, and those particular staff members there, like, if they not familiar with the artist, they don't even, not just even in your circumstances in general, they just don't rock with the new artists that come over, or they don't put no work into them. That's not what they supposed to do still, or they kind of had a favorite of who they rocking with.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a priority list at them labels. So if you ain't priority, then it's like, you know, so most of the people in the building, they got all these different departments. You know, they got product management, they got A&Rs, they got digital teams, you know what I'm saying? And if these certain people don't know about you, you feel me? In my case, they knew who I was, but they wasn't the people who signed me. So it was like they had no interest. You know what I'm saying? They had no investment into it. And I ain't even speaking financially. I'm just saying they had no emotional or whatever attachment to it. You know what I'm saying? Like to say, oh, this the dude we found, we signed, we gotta put him on. You know what I'm saying? We gotta take his career to the next level. They didn't have that. So I was signed by Joey IE and Todd Moskowitz. They were running Warner Brother at the time, and then they end up leaving Warner Brothers like right after I signed my contract. They left Warner Brothers to I believe Todd went to join 300, and I think Joey might have took another job back at Def Jam. I mean, these guys been around for the longest, you know. They, if you know, you talked about, you say them names in that industry, in the rap hip hop community, you know, people who know what it is, they gonna know, like, oh, okay, yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like I said, once I got the Atlantic Records, now they did, they showed me love, they tried to help me, but it just not to the point where I felt like I needed the help, you know, the help that I needed, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, it was their way of doing it. It was the corporate style of doing it. And I'm used to doing it the gritty way and the street way and getting shit done, and they try to do it like a polished way, but it's cool, it'll work, but it only worked for a certain type of artist that's like already like super established. It's they nostalgic is not to build artists. There's, you gotta already be popping, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They work in statistics and logistics, you know what I'm saying? Like, all they shit is number based, so they don't care about talent no more. It's like back in the day, you know, guys was getting signed off talent demos, you know what I'm saying? Right. That's them days is over with in the hip-hop world of the music business. Now I can't speak on no other genres, but I know for this genre, from what I'm seeing and what I done been through, that's done. Them days is over with. This is based on numbers, bro. If you got a buzz and you hot, you go viral, they'll put a bag up for you. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And that's crazy, because out of all the artists, to me, you one of the most original artists as far as just like your style, the beat you pick, how you rap over your beats. You know what I'm saying? And it seemed like, and this, of course, me from the outside looking in at the industry, it seemed like it kind of forced motherfuckers to be on the bandwagon of making songs that sound like everybody else shit just to click onto them algorithms so they can, you know, get the high numbers so they can get that bag behind them. It's like they're not really behind originality no more. You know what
100%.
I mean?
Invested in the artist. They invested in the statistics and the numbers. This is all, it's a money game at this point, which I'm not mad. You can't be mad at that. But at the end of the day, like, that could fuck the genre up, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Jay-Z said it best, you know what I'm saying? You know, when you drop a couple of hits, you feel me? Look how they waves, you know, when you first come in the game, they try to play you, then you drop a couple of hits, look how they wave to you. I mean, that's just the whole thing of it, bro. It's like, it ain't no more of that. It ain't no more like raw talent getting signed. I mean, that's why a lot of the independent Black independent labels was thriving, bro, like Rough Riders, Rockefeller, Bad Boy, No Limit, Cash Money. I mean, these guys is picking up raw talent from the hood and developing, you know what I'm saying? Like, developing these guys, you know, these street guys in these positions, developing artists because they know what's going on in the streets. And when you go in them buildings, all these people is like, you know, I don't want to call them geeks and nerds, but because nerds is cool to me, but they're like they college educated. They got degrees. They don't know nothing about the actual genre like that. They just know statistics and they know marketing and they know, you feel me, stuff like that. Yeah. And that's how they work. So they find a new artist who went popping, who went viral. Oh, you went viral. Okay, cool. Let's go. Get you a bag, put some money behind it, push it, run it through the machine, put it all across the board in each market, and now you popping. But most of the time, them guys don't last. So it's really like a stock exchange, man. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And all these artists are stocks, you feel me? Like, I'm gonna invest for you, right? Short-term stocks at that, you know what I'm saying? Because they invest into them, but they already know they ain't gonna get it long-term. Then they collect, they publish, and they buy their publishing out, so they don't own any music for the long haul. And, you know, it's a dirty game. You gotta really be educated on what's going on. Like, I ain't take no publishing deal, bro. Like, you feel me? They offered me 150 racks. I'm like, 150 racks? I mean, I'm experienced. I know, I've been doing this shit for a long time, so I knew that wasn't shit. You feel me? Like that ain't shit for a nigga catalog to be, you know, making pennies on a dollar. You feel me? At the end of the day. So, you know, that's how they play it. So, you know, you just got to be educated, man, and know what you're getting into. But it's a catch-22 to that, because they know when they get your publishing, your songs get ran through the machine. And you able to make money touring, and you able to make money doing other aspects if you smart about it, though. You feel me? If you smart, yeah. But just know that music that you put out, they own it for the long haul. You know, most of them contracts is like, you know, lifetime contracts. You know what I'm saying? For the publishing. You know what I'm saying? You might own 10%, 15%. They might own 85%. You know what I'm saying? But you know, you making crumbs at that point, and they making top dollar.
Right, yeah. That's crazy. Like, after seeing that, you know, seeing all that, did that did that affect your love for the game by seeing how cutthroat or how grimy it is?
It did at one point, but it didn't affect my love for music, but it affected my love for the game. Because, I took a hiatus. I stopped putting out music for about 4 years, but I continued to make music, but I didn't put it out. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, to me, I looked at like when Jordan had retired them for them couple years. You know what I'm saying? And, I'm like, you know, Jordan still hoop. You don't think he still was out there hooping somewhere, getting his game up? No, he just didn't play for the corporation, the NBA. You feel me? But I'm pretty sure he's still working on his game somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So that's that. And I took that story and applied it to my life. Like, no, I'm not going to let it persuade me from the actual music, because I got love for the music. But that business is cutthroat, and it's a different kind of business. And you just got to use it to your advantage, man. You got to know what you're doing. You got to make the right plays. So I applied that to my business now, and I just move independently. You know what I'm saying? Just straight up, just whatever. Everything I do is independent. I find everything. And that's how it always been for me. Like, I've never had a coach, somebody put up some money for me, loan, not no street guys put up money for me. I was never signed to an independent label. I rep my cousin, which is Street Lord Wine independent label, because that was my family. You know what I'm saying? So I waved the flag for him, you feel me? But I never was actually signed to him. I never got no money from him. The biggest asset that I got from him was game. You know what I'm saying? Like, he put me up on game, on independent shit, and just like life shit too. So, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, like, I'm just on my independent shit, bro. Like, that's how I feel. Like, I think that's the best wave, you know, starting your own business, starting your own labels, starting your own merchandising, merch for whatever you brand it as an artist. And, you know, it just can move from there. You know what I'm saying? It's a different shit.
Now, you know, speaking on, you say the fashion line and everything that you started, what's the story with that?
So the fashion line is crazy. If y'all go on turtle150.com, or you just go on my Instagram, you see I be rocking this. I'm branding the turtles. Like, the turtles is my shit. Like, I fuck with turtles because turtles been around for a long time, and spiritually, like, the spiritual animal definition of the turtle is like they stand for like wisdom, longevity, intuition, you know, clarity, vision. You know what I'm saying? Like, turtles don't never, like, they always just got vision to what they trying to do. But it's a slow pace, it's a slow grind, but they always finish first. Like, if you, like, first grade, kindergarten type shit, like, you hear the story of the turtle and the hare, you know what I'm saying? The race of the turtle and the hare. And it's the turtle just, he just moving, he just slowly, but he going, you know what I'm saying? But the rabbit fast, the hare fast as hell, you know what I'm saying? But it always get distracted by some hoes, some jewelry, some, you know, drugs, whatever it might be, whatever your shit that be distracting you might be, that's the rabbit, you know what I'm saying? But the turtle just got that vision. So that's one aspect of the turtle, and they live 150 years. You know, the turtle live a long time. They've been here since the dinosaurs, so you know, they got all the wisdom in the world. They've been on this earth. This bitch been here for a long time, bro. So for them to still be here, and a lot of animals then, you know what I'm saying, they out of here right now, you feel me? And they here, so it's like, shit, it got to be something serious going on with them, bro. Like, for real. So that's one aspect of it. Now, the actual turtle that I used was a graffiti turtle that, if you grew up in Detroit, I can't speak on the east side, but I grew up on the west side of Detroit. So I used to see this turtle graffiti everywhere around the city, like on the overpasses, on the garage doors. And back in the 90s, it used to be like next to like gang graffiti and shit on like the wall. And I never knew what it was, bro. I always thought it was like a gang, a part of some type of gang or something, bro. But I later learned that the turtle was created by an artist named Turdy, and he was a graffiti artist, you know what I'm saying? And he was painting this turtle on the overpasses. He actually got the painting and shit like downtown on like the city official buildings and municipal buildings. This is the story. He was painted on them, and like state official buildings, and like they was on his head. Like the prosecutor Mike Duggan was on his head, and at the time Duggan was the prosecutor, they was on his head and shit, and you know they put like a warrant out for his arrest. Now if you know anything about graffiti, they always conceal their like image, like they don't like to be known who they are, because obviously they vandalize and shit, you feel me? So they don't put their face on shit, they just put their art on shit. So graffiti, I'm interested in graffiti. So with that turtle, I'm like, damn, that turtle hard. So when I was coming up with the concept of the turtle shit, I'm like, man, I want to use that turtle, because that turtle is a Detroit turtle. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's some D shit. You feel me? So I, like, if I'm a fuck with turtles, why not fuck with the D turtle, the actual one I used to see growing up and shit. So right. That's how I start fucking with the actual imagery of the one you see that I got on my website and that I'm using for merch and shit. That's he created that, but I took it and flipped it and did some little shit to it to make it my own. But he's the actual creator, you know what I'm saying? But nobody knows who this nigga is, so I didn't reach out to him because I know people in the graffiti world that know him. And he like, man, I don't care, bro, use it. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll use it. Come on, let's do it. You feel me? Because I wanted to bring him in and have him like a part of the company and shit. Like, bro, come fuck with me. Like, dog, like this art, bro. Like music, graffiti, whatever. Like clothes. Like we can. Like I'll let you eat with me. But he obviously he don't care for it though. Like it's so old to him. He don't care. Like he doing some new shit now, like with the cats and shit. Like he got some shit going with the cat. If you ever see around the city where the cats is like, it's a cat holding an H and another cat holding a dollar sign. That's his shit. That's his shit too. And it's symbolizing like the drug abuse. Like a cat selling heroin and, you know, exchange for heroin and money and shit. So it's like graffiti is like deep shit. Like it ain't just like people think that shit is just like some bullshit or niggas just want to vandalize shit. No, it's actually a message behind the vandalism. You know what I'm saying? That's why they actually do it. You feel me? So I fuck with it.
That's crazy. And that's crazy how he, you know what I'm saying, that he putting the art out there but wasn't even interested like on the business side. But it's cool that you even offered the opportunity for him to do it. You know what I mean?
100%. Because that's because I'm a real nigga and I'm not no vulture, dog. But, you know, even still, like, the nigga's a legend. And, you know, I be having people come at me like, but they don't know the conversations I done had with or through my people with dog. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't really give a fuck about that. All I care about the truth, and I know the truth. Like, you know what I'm saying? People see it and they be like, no, you can't use dog stuff. But they don't know dog gave me permission to use it. You feel me? Like, I got the okay to go to fuck with it. So it's like, I'm about to use it because I feel connected to it just as much as he probably do. You know what I'm saying? He the creator, but I've been seeing this shit since I was a kid, bro. You feel me? Since the 90s. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, nigga, I feel connected to it just as much probably, or even more now. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. So let's rewind it back, because, you know, bringing up growing up in the, you know, in Detroit and everything like that. Like, how would you explain growing up in Detroit for, like, for you? You know what I mean? To, like, people, if they never visited Detroit, or maybe from outside of Detroit or whatever the case may be, like, how would you explain your experience growing up?
Man, I honestly, bro, I had a good experience growing up. Like, it's different eras. Like, it's like the 90s era, and then it's like, for me, because I'm a little older. I ain't that old, but I'm 30, you feel me? So, it's that 90s era, it's that 2000s era to 2010, it's the present time, you know what I'm saying? To me, it's all been different, each era, you know what I'm saying? But growing up as a kid, like, shit was like, man, it was gravy, bro. Like, shit was fun. Like, the shit kids don't want to do nowadays, bro, it's like, we were having fun. Like, we had fun taking the bus and, you know, going to Fairlane for Jordans and Northland for Jordans, you know, taking the bus and shit, and you know, all that little shit, just, you know, like, it wasn't really like crime was heavy still, but it wasn't like they wasn't fucking with kids, bro. Like, it was like, crime was like, nigga, I'm gonna kill the person who I want to kill. I'm not gonna kill everybody on the block. I'm not gonna shoot the party up. You feel me? Like, right. Not like now with how it is now and shit. It's like, no, I'm gonna go kill him. You know what I'm saying? And that was that. Like, crackheads didn't fuck with us, bro. I went to school in Cass Corridors, bro, downtown, like, where when crack was booming. You feel me? Them crackhead, man, we ain't never had no issues, bro. Burn International, bro. Public school, Detroit Public School, man. So, none of them crackheads ever fucked with none of the kids, bro. None of that type of shit. So, I honestly had a pleasant childhood. Like, I wasn't rich. I would say we was like, my mom worked at Henry Ford Hospital, bro. Like, I stayed on Finkel and Evergreen. My grandmother, I grew up really on Joy Road in Whitfield. You know what I'm saying? With my grandmother. You know, everybody, every damn near child that come up with a single parent household, which is their mother, you know, you always damn near somehow grow up in your grandma neighborhood. Yeah. You feel me? Right. So
yeah.
I end up really growing up. I knew more people in my grandma neighborhood than I knew in my own neighborhood, because I would be at my grandma house during the daytime, but then just go home to go to sleep, go to school, then go back to my grandma neighborhood. So I knew everybody. I didn't start really knowing people in my actual neighborhood until I got older, until I got like late middle school, high school, where I was able to move around on my own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But honestly, man, it was cool, bro. Like, hooping. You know, everybody wanted to hoop. You know, it was all about hooping and girls at the time, bro. Niggas weren't thinking about no drugs or guns. I wasn't thinking about none of that shit growing up. Hooping and girls, bro. That was it.
Yeah. Did you used to play any sports, like, for any teams, anything like that back then?
I used to hoop. Like really on some real shit. Niggas know me from hooping before they know me from rapping. Like, I used to hoop. Like, I hooped for middle school. I hooped for high school. I play AAU, Team Detroit. Team Michigan, you feel me? Like, I was a hooper. Like, that's how I knew people, you know what I'm saying? Like, before I dropped any verses, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, most definitely.
Well, so what will end up happening? Was it the music path that crossed to end up getting you to stop hooping, or just life? Like, just, you know, life happening? No,
what happened was, why I stopped hooping was, so I end up going to a Catholic school in the city, right in the hood in Detroit, Benedictine High School. Going there for high school after I left, I was supposed to go to Redford. Actually, I was supposed to move to Arizona with my old dude, because I had went out to my old dude stayed in AZ. So every summer he'll fly me and my brother out. But this time my brother was on his way to college and I was on my way to high school. So my brother couldn't go, but I went. My old dude, like, I'm gonna put you through you want to go to the, because every year we'd do like a summer camp, like a hooping summer camp. You know, we go to Perry Watson shit at UAD, or we'd do some type of a hooping summer camp. You go to the Phoenix Sun, I pay for you to go to Phoenix Sun summer camp out here. So I'm like, hell yeah, let's do it. So I went out there, I did the summer camp, end up winning like MVP of the whole summer camp, bro, in front of Dan Marley, Sean Marion, and all these cats. Some of the coaches was like, bro, do you live here? Like, they was trying to recruit me out there. And I'm like, no, I stay in Detroit. You know, my old dude just stay out here. And, you know, I'm just out here for the summer, you know, for a few weeks or whatever. They like, man, if you want to come to stay out here, man, we got to start. You a start varsity, right? I'm a little nigga, bro, but I was, I had that wetter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I shot the blood. Like, I was Steph and Clay before them niggas, bro. For real, for real. Real shit. So they like, nah. They like, bro, can you move out here with your old dude? We get you a spot, guaranteed. I'm like, man. So I came home. I told my mother and shit. My mom like, man, you know, my mom is just her. You know, she got all sad and shit. So I'm like, all right. I told my old dude, like, no, I ain't gonna move. I don't want to leave my mama, because my brother was going off to Eastern Michigan. I'm like, dog, no, I'm going to stay here with my OG. You feel me? And, I end up doing that. My old dude was like, well, fuck it. I'm like, I got to go to Redford, because I was trying to get in Cass. I wasn't smart enough to get in Cass or Renaissance. You know what I'm saying? I was smart enough, but I ain't apply myself. Just put it like that. I ain't going to say I wasn't smart enough. Yeah. And I end up like, fuck it. I just go to my old dude, like, you want to go to UAD? I'm like, hell no. I want to go to no all-boys school. I got to see some females, bro. Like, shit, you want to go to Benedictine? That's right in your neighborhood. Like, you can walk up there. I'm like, shit, let me see what it's about, dog. They ain't want me to. My brother went to Redford. My brother used to get in all type of trouble and shit and just be just wilding. Like every school my brother, me and him went to, like the teachers would be, I would just remind the teachers of my brother. You feel me? They'd be like, oh, here go Lil Dave. You know what I'm saying? My brother named Dave. Oh, here come Lil Talifer, Lil Dave. Hell no. I was already, I had already a aura with them. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
They like, no, you can't go to Redford. Go to Benedictine, your old dude gonna pay for you. Go to Benedictine, go to Benedictine. I'm like, all right. So I went there, go. I hooped 2 years. I was playing JV. And then I played JV for 2 years because the coach really didn't fuck with me. So I end up leaving. Like, you know what? I ain't about to go. I'm about to go to Redford, dog. I ain't going here. But end up a dude down the street from me named Kerry, my little homie. He like, bro, you need to come to this school. His old dude was a coach. And I end up playing summer school. I end up playing summer league with them. And it was like me, my man Tell, Macklemore that went to, he play overseas now. He went to what's that school? Mumford. He went to Mumford. And then Darrell Summers. He went to, and D Brown. And it was a couple guys that was like really like going, like that was really popping in like the hoop world, the hoop scene. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go there and fuck with them. I can just run the point. You feel me? So it was a school called Consortium downtown. It was like a new little charter school. So I end up going there, hoop for a year. Now, my man that then brought me to the school, like I said, he the coach, but his son the point guard too. So it was like some little shit. So I'm like, you know what, man? That's my guy. I ain't going to get into no argument with him. There's a little nepotism going on, but I was like, fuck it. Y'all go ahead. Y'all can have this hoop shit. Now, mind you, I did get injured that year, the year before, like my 11th grade year, where I was having back spasms. So I wasn't 100%. So at that point, when I came back, they was trying to get me to play 12th grade. They like, Dusty, you gonna play, bro. You gonna get your clock. You gonna be straight. I'm like, no, I'm straight. I'm on this rap shit now. So at that point, I had went to Consortium. I met my one of my best friends to this day, Vernon. And they was rapping. We just all just started rapping, bro. Making little CDs, going up to Northland, fucking with Press Play, Jay.
Yeah.
If y'all remember back in the early 2000s, they used to have a little booth in the middle of the mall. So we go in the middle of the mall and be like, we in a real studio, just flowing. Motherfuckers walking by with shopping bags. We flowing like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? We pressed up. We took the CD home, grab. You know, everybody had a blank disc. Presser back then, where niggas used to not blank but mixtapes was big back then, so niggas used to go sell mixtapes and shit. So I had one, so we went and pressed a whole bunch of CDs up, bro, and just banged them at the school. We had the whole fucking school listening to our shit, bro. It was crazy. So from that, I was like, you know what, I'm a rapper. You feel me? I already was doing it, but that like solidified it, like, yeah, I'm a rapper now, bro. I ain't hooping no more.
Who are some of like your like earlier influences that even gave you like that the inspiration to even start spitting?
Well, to keep it 100, like I was everywhere. Like, cause I was a big hip hop fan. Like off top, the Hot Boys. You know what I'm saying? Like I was a Hot Boy like fanatic. You know what I'm saying? Cash Money, Hot Boys. That was me. Like that was all me. I went to the beauty supply and bought a motherfucking Hot Boy chain when I was like 12 years old. You know what I'm saying? 100%, no bullshit. I ain't never wore no fake jewelry, bro. But I'm telling you that. And when I was 12, I had to have that Hot Boy chain.
Right.
So them for sure. Earlier on, and then as I started getting older, I mean Lil Wayne was always like my nigga. You feel me? But earlier, after that, like high school and shit, it started becoming like Jay-Z, T.I., you know what I'm saying? It was like the niggas that, like, I remember banging T.I. before niggas knew who he was in the city. You feel me? My cousin used to go to Mammoth. I don't know if you know the mall Mammoth on Grand River. Used to run that bitch. You get all the No Limit CDs, all the CDs. So one day my brother stole a T.I. CD. You steal all his CDs and shit. He is stealing from my cousin. I steal them from him. You know what I'm saying? So I stole the T.I. CD. I'm like, man, this nigga hard, bro. Like this nigga, like it was the I'm Serious CD, bro.
Yeah, that's one of his best shit.
Man, that shit was so hard, bro. Like, I still bang that shit to this day, bro. That I still ain't forgave myself. It's like he was talking to me on that bitch. Like, I'm like, damn, this nigga sound like he got my, like, his life is my life. You know what I'm saying? So, that shit, bro, and Hov, bro, like, I don't, you feel me? Like, that's who I really always just fuck with, him and Hov, like, and Wayne. You know what I'm saying? And of course, like, I fucked with Wine, the Street Lords, all of these shit I fucked with hard, but more so Blade and Wine, like, you feel me? But I fucked with all the KDZs, you feel me? Herc, everybody around here, but really, really for sure, Blade and Wine, like, was like they was right there, you know what I'm saying? With the hoes and the TIs and all that shit, you feel me?
Yeah. Like, for taking people back to that time, like you say, rapping, you know, even though T.I. and Hov was an inspiration, but being that close to, you know, Wine and Blade and them during that time, like, you got any special memories from that time that, you know, people may not know about?
So, I didn't know Wine. Like, Wine is a cousin through a cousin. See what I'm saying? So, yeah. I always, like, growing up, like, early teenage years, like, I didn't really know Wine. I just used to always see him at my cousin's house. He would come through in the Hummer and the big-ass chain on or icy-ass watch or something, you feel me? And I used to tell my cousin, you know, my family from the East. Well, this is my old dude side of the family from the East side. So I would tell my cousin, like, man, dog, I want to rap, bro, blah, blah, blah. So one particular barbecue, I'm telling my cousin Fur, like, Fur dog, man, I'm trying to rap, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need, you feel me? I'm trying to get, because he do his thing. So I'm trying to get him to put some cheese. I'm like, nigga, come on, nigga. Come on. You feel, I ain't shit. Brian, I ain't nothing but in the probably like literally probably the 10th grade. Because I had, like I said, I was rapping, but I wasn't going hard. I was still just hoop. I was focusing on hooping, but I was rapping, but not seriously. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, because I ain't had no team. It was just me. So it was just me and my cousin Slick. So I'm telling Fur, like, Fur, bro, come on, dog. You know, I need some. He like, Wine walking into the house. He like, go talk to him. I'm like, who? Him right there. I'm like, all right, fuck it. He telling me like that. This Wine right here. Because, you know, back in the day, like, niggas didn't see Wine like that. Niggas still don't see Wine like that. You feel me? Like, yeah. Wine is like a mystery, like he really ghost, you know, off power. Like, that nigga's the real ghost around here. Like, niggas don't see Wine like that. So, like, I knew who he was, but I didn't, you feel me? Like, I didn't know how the nigga really looked like that. I couldn't pick the nigga out. Like, if I seen him by myself, like, oh, that's one, you know, back then. So he like, go talk to dude. I go talking to dude. I'm like, bro, I'm trying to rap, blah, blah, blah. So my cousin right there talking shit. You know what I'm saying? He like, man, rap, man, battle. Y'all niggas battle. He trying to get me to battle Wine, bro. I'm like 14 years old, bro. He like, battle, man, battle that nigga. Wine like, man, I'll battle you, man. Put some money up. I'm like, man, I got my pockets full of lint right now, cuz. I ain't got no motherfucking money, dog. You feel me? I'm 14. You know these little niggas 14 be having a bag now. I'm like, nigga, I ain't got no motherfucking money. You know what I'm saying? I got lint in my pipe. Nigga, he like, nigga, put a dollar up at least, nigga. I'm like, nigga, I ain't even got a slug, nigga, in my pocket. You feel me? So he like, fuck it, dog. My cousin like, man, stop, man. Get off that bullshit. He telling Wine, like, man, get off that bullshit, man. Rap against that nigga, man. Battle that little nigga, dog. So, because my cousin is like, I ain't going to say the OG, but he the older nigga. You feel me? Like, you feel me? He the nigga that jumped off the porch early. You feel me? So,
yeah.
So in they hood. So, Wine, me and Wine rapping. We going back and forth. I'm saying some shit. I just can remember that one line I said to the nigga. I was like, nigga, I'll stump you and put a Kohan print on your face, nigga, because I had some Kohans on. That nigga looked like, hold on, little nigga, like, wait a minute. You ain't talking crazy like that. Hold on. You feel me? So, but ever since that day, he was, you know, he like, oh, I fuck with you for even talking to me like, you know what I'm saying? Like, rapping like that to me. Like, you know what I'm saying? He fucked with me. You feel me? So, ever since then, we've been locked in. I think I was probably, like I said, like 13 or 14, bro. I was no older than that. And we've been locked in, bro, for sure. So, yep.
How much longer after that did it take for y'all to really like hit the studio with them or anything like that?
So what happened was I was 13 and 14. So in the, it was like, I didn't, that was probably like maybe 2003, 2004. And I didn't really start fucking with wine for real until 2008 when I came home from school. So I ended up leaving. So tell you this story, like I had got out of high school. I graduated by the grace of God. Like my motherfucking principal was cool with my old dude, and the dean of students was cool with my old dude. Like I said, I was smart as hell, but I didn't apply myself, bro. And yeah. At the end, like the last 3 weeks of school, they had told me like, Dusty, you ain't graduating. I'm like, what? I'm like, no, you ain't graduating, bro. Cause I never went to school, bro. I never went to school. So he was like, the dean was like, I'm gonna talk to Mr. Atkins for you, blah, blah, blah. So they talked to Mr. Atkins. He like, look, I'm gonna take you to all your teachers. You're gonna have to do all the work they give you. And I'm gonna make them pass you. Now, this was a new school, by the way, mind you. This is a new school. So they trying to get the highest graduation rate they can get. You feel me? So he like, and he had love for me. They knew I was smart, but I just was on some bullshit. So he took all me to all my teachers. They gave me all the work. I had some, my little girls that I fucked with. They was just doing all the work for me, bro. I was doing some of it too, but they was doing it all. So make a long story short, I end up graduating, thinking about going to college. I'm like, no, I ain't gonna go to college, bro. So I was like, but then my mama like, no, I'll go to college, dog, just see what shit like. So I'm like, fuck it. I try to do OCC. I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna go to OCC. I'm like, no, this shit ain't for me. So I went to OCC for about a month, popped a refund check, and I was like, I'm good, I'm done. You feel me? So, like a couple months went by. My man's like, bro, go to come down. And my man was going to the school called Full Sail in University in Orlando. He like, Dusty, you need to come with me. You need to come with me, bro. My man Early Matt. He like, come with me, bro. This shit gonna be good. You can learn, you know, the music shit better. You can get it, you know, hands on experience with the shit, because they got this little lab, and then you go to class and you go to the labs. You feel me? So it's like an accelerated. I'm like, dog, I ain't no school nigga though, bro. I really ain't no school nigga. So I just was like, fuck that, I'm not doing it. But he ended up going. 3 months later, I'm in the city, man. All type of shit, getting arrested. One of my mans going to jail for murder. One of my other niggas getting popped. I'm like, man, I'm out of here. You feel me? Yeah. So I'm like, dog, my mom like, bro, you need to, man, come on, dog. Like, you tripping. Like, come on, do something, dog. For real. Like, you ain't in school. You ain't got no job, nothing. Do something. So I'm like, fuck it, dog. I called my man. I'm like, bro, I'm about to come down there and go to that school. Send me all the information. So long story short, I end up going down there, going to school. When I came home, it was an accelerated course. So I went down there. It was a year course, but it took me a year and a half to do it because I was failing classes. I came home. The first day I came home, I called Wine. Wine, I just went. I told him before I left, like, bro, I'm about to go to this school down here, learn this music shit. I'm coming home. We getting straight to it. He like, bet, call me as soon as you come home. I came home that very day I touched the Detroit Seaman, bro. I called him. He like, pull up downtown 1250 Griswold, and it was on. That was the story. That's how, and from that day, we've been locked. That was 2008.
End of 2008. Damn, that's crazy. Now, I hear you talk about, you know, going to Orlando, going to AZ and different places like that. So you would travel a lot when you was younger. How did that help? If you did, you know what I'm saying, back and forth, you know, so you said your pop stayed OT. How did that help you, help mold you? You know, because a lot of people that may be stuck in the city and don't get the opportunity to leave, you know, they may have a certain type of mentality. How you feel like that may have helped you?
Man, it helped me a lot, bro. Like, it helped me a lot, bro. Like, even as a kid, like, when my pops was around, like, my pops left when I was, like, 6 years old, kindergarten and shit. When he left, even before he left, bro, like, I remember, like, we got videos and shit of it. Like, we used to go to Florida, like, every year. Like, my pops would take us to Florida and shit. And, you know, we go to Disney World and shit. And you know, Universal Studios and all that shit. You feel me? Do all that little Florida shit. So, I used to do that shit all the, like, I like, growing up, I went everywhere. Like, family reunions was always, because my family from Memphis, Tennessee. You feel me? So, Memphis heavy. St. Louis. Texas, like, we done have family reunions everywhere, but more like the shit you talking about, like the shit I used to go to daily, like every year, like AZ, like, man, that shit just, it opened my eyes to like, man, this shit way bigger than Detroit, bro. It's way bigger than Detroit, bro. Like I go to AZ, bro. It's like, nigga, big ass bugs, big ass scorpions and shit. Like, just different shit you're not going to see in the city. And my old dude at the time had a little paper. So, you know, we, like, it was, like, he stayed in Scottsdale, you feel me? Niggas know AZ with Scottsdale, that they know what it is, you feel me? So, it was just lovely, dog. Like, I'm talking about, it really opened my eyes to see, like, I gotta travel, bro. Like, even when I went to AZ, like, we'd drive to Cali, go to Disneyland, and do all that Six Flags, all that little shit, too, you know what I'm saying? So, I got little brothers and shit too, so we used to do all that little shit, bro. So, yeah, that shit really helped me, bro. Like, it really molded me to want to be able to travel. Like, and that's what I do now too, bro. Like, me and my girl, we just last year we went to Aruba. We went to Aruba in March, then we ended up turning around going to Mexico in April. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm about to jump on the flight next week. You feel me? I ain't going nowhere like that. I'm just going to NY, but. Yeah, bro, that's like, I do that shit now, though, dog. Like, I don't be wanting to be stuck in the city, bro. I like seeing and experiencing different cultures and different shit, you know what I'm saying, doing new shit.
Yeah, so you feel, so for people that really don't travel, you definitely would tell them, like, man, if that's one thing you should do is, you know, get up out your neighborhood, your block, and go travel around.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, man. Like it's beautiful, dog. The world is beautiful, my nigga, like. You know what I'm saying? Like, Detroit is beautiful too, but the world beautiful, bro. Like, niggas, this bitch gonna be here, bro. You can go somewhere and see some other type of shit, see some other type of women. You know what I'm saying? Like, all type of shit. You feel me? So, yeah, I would definitely encourage niggas. And I've been preaching that on like, even through the music. Like, I be preaching that. Like, bro, get the fuck out the city for a minute, dog. You know what I'm saying? This, you know, especially if, you know, I'm talking to my street niggas. And niggas who come up from that type, from that situation, you know what I'm saying? Coming from that cloth, you know, right. Like, y'all niggas got to really bust some moves, get up out of here, look at, you know, see some, open your mind up, bro. You feel me? See these different horizons out here, cause you know it's just good for you, man. It make you want more. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, dude. Now you just mentioned like kind of with the music and stuff as well, you know, because especially definitely on that Evergreen album. When that came out, me listening not only to the flows, just listening to like the beat selections and all that stuff. To me, that was like a fully polished, not I don't know how an artist may take it, you know what I'm saying? But like, I felt like that was definitely industry ready, where that wouldn't have just attracted just to the city. It would have, anybody from any place could have liked that album. You know what I mean? Like, so did the traveling and all that stuff help you with like beat selections and all that stuff too, to not just focus on just wanting to target market Detroit?
I ain't gonna lie, that was one of the albums that Atlantic Records, because that came out through Atlantic, and it actually came out through Empire, but that was one of the records that I did get a little bit of support from them, like, as far as like, and the only reason, and because I had an A&R there, that my A&R, really originally my A&R, not my original A&R, my secondary A&R that stepped in was my man Delonte Murphy Butter, and he doing like Lil Duval. He over at Empire right now, but I still fuck with him to this day. But my man, he came in and was like, "What y'all doing with Dusty, man? Like, come on, like, why y'all just got him sitting? Like, what's going on?" So he came in and kind of stirred some shit up, and I was able to move around. Like, I was going back at the time, I was staying in California, so I had access to like all them different producers in California. Like niggas don't know, like Young Berg is on that. Like, he produced on that the Hitmaker. You know, he doing all type of shit now. Like, he got all type of hits out here now. Like, he on that album. You know, It Ain't Shit. Then I got the dude Jay White Did It. Like, he on there. The nigga who did all Cardi B singles, pop shit that's popping right now. You know what I'm saying? So, I was able to move a little bit with that album and fuck with I wasn't stuck in Detroit, like having to deal with all just the producers here, which is like cool. I never had a problem with creating with the guys around here, because I love these producers around here. But it just, that album in particular, I was able to outsource, you know what I'm saying? And and fuck with niggas that I had never fucked with before because of Delonte.
Yeah, yeah. Now, throughout that process of you know, meeting different people, how is that to you from your eyes? You know, being from the city, going out there meeting different people in the industry, was it like I don't know how to even say it, like not shocking, but like meeting different people in the industry, did you see more of a cutthroat side, not just on the game side, like with the individuals, or people was more genuine?
Nah, I didn't see a cutthroat side, but I didn't see a genuine side either. It's more like they shit is like, they cutthroat is like, it's more so like, it's like hidden. Like, you feel me? Like, they don't, it's not like, it's passive. You know what I'm saying? It's not like up in your face cutthroat. It's like, it ain't gonna, like, you ain't like, they not gonna walk in your face like, you whole ass nigga, fuck you. They gonna look at you. And they're going to walk away, and then they're going to tell somebody, like, he a whole ass nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the type of, that's just an example. That's not what happened. But I'm just saying that's the type of shit they do. Like, it ain't genuine at all. Like, you feel me? It's a couple genuine niggas that I fuck with. But for the most part, like, niggas is not genuine. And it's all about the dollar out there. Which is, like I said, I'm not mad about that either. I get it. But at the end of the day, you know, the genre, it fucks up the genre. It fucks the genre up. You know what I'm saying? How can I say it, dog? It's no authenticity. You feel me? Like, niggas don't really fuck with niggas. Niggas fuck with niggas for the money that they can make off of them. It's all opportunist type shit. You know what I'm saying? For the most part, you know what I'm saying? What I witnessed, you feel me? But like I said, you got genuine people here and there that really want to see you win. Oh, yeah, bro. They're going to, you know, they ain't worried about no money. They want to see you win. And if the money come, the money come. You know what I'm saying? So,
So, for yourself and for, like, say, for instance, other artists that's coming up, if they come from a certain type of cloth, what you feel like the biggest transition or what's the biggest thing they got to adapt to try to make it in that world? Because, you know, coming from one cloth where you're supposed to, you know, either stand by your word or have some rules and principles and integrity, even though the streets is super fucked up now, but, you know, people that come from that, you know, and then coming into that world, how do you balance it? You just kind of got to get numb to it and just say, fuck with niggas, you know, what they own, and just try to get what you got to get done, or what?
So to me, what I didn't witness, bro, like, I don't see no street niggas in that business. Like, only time you see street niggas is when they with rappers. You feel me? Like, and that's the only time you see street niggas. To what I've seen, you feel me? I don't see no street niggas calling no shots. You feel me? You know, on some real shit. Like I said, in those buildings, like, it's really just college educated people. You know what I'm saying? Lawyers. How a lawyer gonna tell you what's hot in rap? You know what I'm saying? A white 53-year-old Jewish, or, you know what I'm saying, whatever ethnicity they are, like, but how you know what's hot in rap? You know what I'm saying? You're not even tapped in with the streets. You feel me? So, what I can say is, like, bro, like, as far as transitioning, dog, like, I'm going to tell you one of the mistakes that I made, like, coming out the street, like, being, like, active in the streets. And like I'm not no street nigga, bro. Put it like that. Like, I used to say I was a street nigga, but I pondered on that shit. Like, no, don't call me. I'm not no street nigga, bro. Like, I'm a nigga from the hood. That's it. I'm from the hood, but I'm not no street nigga, bro. I don't want that shit on me. You feel me? Like, I think street niggas is stupid. Like, I think street niggas do stupid shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, I'm a nigga from the hood. And I respect street niggas, but they be on some stupid shit, bro. Like, you gotta smarten up, dog. Like, but it's a difference. See, niggas think niggas from the hood is street niggas. No, it's two different niggas, bro. Like, it's niggas in the streets that do stupid shit, like fucking go on Instagram and show people what you doing. Like, come on, bro. That ain't smart, my nigga. Like, that's not smart, bro. But you know what? Let me take that back. I don't even think they stupid. I think they just ignorant. You know what I'm saying? It's not even, it's cause me, I ain't gonna lie. That was me. I can say that because it was me at a certain point. You feel me? Not doing that dumbass shit, but I can say other shit that I have done that's connected me to that being ignorant and not knowing. And it's got something to do with being young and shit, youthfulness. But I say when a nigga, bro, when you 25 and you come from the streets, bro, you should know better. You should know not to do certain shit, dog. Like we come from the streets, dog, but I'm not no street nigga, bro. I'm me, bro. I'm me. Dusty McFly, you call me Fleas, whatever you want. But I ain't no... I been took that moniker off my name. Like, I didn't put that shit in all type of songs. Oh, I'm a street nigga. I'm this. I'm man, fuck that. Yeah, that's what I used to be, but I ain't that no more. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't care for it. Because I see what the streets is now.
Yeah.
Like, don't connect me to that, bro. The streets is not real at all. You feel me?
Yeah.
And something I learned, I don't mean to cut you off. Something I learned is like, dog, you just can't be real with everybody, dog. Like, even like how I'm gonna be real to a fake nigga?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the point of that? Like, nah. Like, that's stupid.
You gonna be,
you know what I'm saying? So you a street nigga, but you being real to a whole bunch of fake people, bro. And you tricking yourself. You tricking yourself off the streets. Either you gonna be dead or you gonna be a jail nigga. You gonna be a dead nigga or a jail nigga. You feel me? Because you not thinking, because you ignorant. You know what I'm saying? So like I said, I don't want to call them stupid. It's just ignorant, dog. It's ignorance.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now, you know, as far as the Detroit rap scene as a whole, how do you look at, you know, where's everything, you know, everything is at right now? You know, you proud of where you're seeing the city at right now?
Yeah, I love it, dog. Like, niggas don't know, bro. Like, man, like, I'm gonna say this is, it's like super exclusive, dog. Like, I'm a part of this, like, not, I'm not even talking about from the Dusty McFly aspect. I'm talking about from like I got deeper roots in this shit. Like, dog, I started out producing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I started out producing niggas. So like back in the day when like GFC, like Rich Kim, my nigga Monday, mm-hmm. and the HNIC niggas and the Fam niggas and the Dexter niggas and all them niggas was the hot young niggas back. My little niggas, the Dream Team. The Cash Out Boys, all that shit was popping back then, bro. I was producing all that shit, bro. Real shit. Like, and niggas don't know that, but it's, you feel me? It's facts. If you go do the research, it's facts. I'm deeply rooted. You know what I'm saying? So it was easy for when Dusty popped off, like, oh, that's that nigga, that's Dusty.
Right. Yeah.
That nigga, we know him. It ain't even really had to do with no street shit. It was like, no, we know dog because dog been fucking with us for the longest. Like, we know him from hooping. We know him from producing. We know him from being active. And we know him from fucking with the hoes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when Dusty McFly popped, it was like, oh, nigga, that's why it just went that crazy because the whole city had already knew me. I was already deeply rooted in the hip-hop community. You feel me? From all on a street aspect of, like, the street rappers. The niggas that was like... You know what I'm saying? The Doughboy Cash Out equivalents. You know what I'm saying? The people that was like in that era. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. See, now, this is something I've been wanting to ask an artist from the city. Do you think this...
But to answer your question, nigga, I fuck with all the... I still fuck with the Detroit music. Like, I love this shit. Like, I love all this shit that's going on. Like, I love these young niggas coming up off the street, getting out of jail, and coming up off rap. Nigga, I love it.
Yeah, give it another opportunities to do some other shit.
Hell yeah.
Now, this is a question that I feel like, you know, not to say that it ain't no quote-unquote people that's in the, you know, locally Detroit scene that's bubbling, that's fake, real, or whatever the case may be, but I feel like, you know, authenticity is something that people really, like, if the city don't get behind you, if you're an artist here, it's like, it's kind of, it may be a reason, maybe that artist may be lying about some shit, people, or whatever the case may be, or whatever, you know, type thing, but do you think that kind of is a double-edged sword, like, with talent for people that's possibly talented, where it's always, I don't know if this is the right thing to even, you know, say, but it's like, okay, a certain artist from Detroit, like if they representing a certain type of cloth, okay, they gotta go around, hit the strip clubs, make it rain, they gotta go through this whole same circle of everything. Now throughout that process, they going through different hoods, different side of town. Seem like then it's like, okay, then some beef starting. If you make it out on the other side of that beef, now you got a 50-50 chance of possibly making it within, you know, the city getting behind you. Do you think the city putting pressure on artists to be authentic in what they rap about, make it harder for artists to really pop?
I think the old, in our era they did. Like niggas who like 30, niggas like, you know what I'm saying, when we was like 20, like the 10 years ago, yeah, I think that what it was, you feel me? Niggas was putting pressure. You had to be a real nigga, you feel me? You couldn't have no dirt on your name. Your shit had to be solidified. But now, I don't think it matter. I don't think niggas give a fuck, because with all this social media shit, niggas just want to see somebody following you. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas just want to see it. Hear another nigga like your shit. Oh, you like his shit? All right, yeah, let's like his shit then. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I feel, like, nowadays, like, because I see the metrics and the trends on how this shit be moving, bro. Like, you see niggas pop up out of nowhere, and they just bubble. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't, you feel me? Like I said, it's a lot of shit that I don't care for. The music, I don't really listen to none of this new music, but I fuck with niggas. Like, I say, I'll check they shit out, support them, but it just don't be for me, bro. I don't bang this shit, you know what I'm saying? But I can respect it. Like, yeah, nigga, I fuck with you. Keep going hard. Or even if I like a song, like, oh, yeah, I fuck with that. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, like, personally, I don't listen to it. But motherfuckers love it. You know what I'm saying? So it got to be something there. But a lot of that got to do with popularity, bro. Nigga, just be popular. Nigga, just be a popular ass nigga that just started rapping, you know, made his name in the streets, and now he just popping. You know what I'm saying? Because he rapping now. You feel me? And a lot of niggas do that. A lot of niggas come off from jail, make a song, and niggas know, niggas going based off his record, not his music. Niggas going like, oh, that nigga's a real nigga. He done did this. He done did that. He done put in this type of work. We gonna fuck with him.
Right.
And then now, what they call a ripple effect. Like, all right, so, for instance, like, I don't like to drop names, but, like, say it's a new artist and, you know, who hot right now? Peezy hot. Peezy fuck with you. All right, nigga, let's see what this nigga talking about then. Which is how shit really work, really, in the industry, period. You know what I'm saying? Even with these bigger rappers, you feel me? You fuck with a certain nigga of a certain stature and on a higher level than you, then you get his fans. You know what I'm saying? And then that's just how it is. So it's really like a popularity thing in Detroit, but which is cool too. Like it's cool to be popular and get off like that. I ain't never been mad. You know what I'm saying? As far as how a nigga get on, you know what I'm saying? But I just, you know, like, if we talking music, like, I'm a real music nigga. You feel me? So we talking music and actual, like, nigga, actual songs and lyrics. I don't give a fuck about bars. You ain't gotta be all punchline this, punchline that, all that shit. I just like hearing some swaggy shit. You know what I'm saying? So if you can do that, then I fuck with you. You know what I'm saying? Period. But you know, it's a couple niggas I like. It's a few niggas I like. But like, it's a lot of young shit going on right now. So, and I'm on some whole other shit. So that's why I don't care to listen to it, as far as, you know, putting it in my ambience, you know what I'm saying, and taking in the energy of it. But I still respect the young niggas that's doing what they doing, bro, and I give them their props for doing what they doing, for sure.
Now, you know, and I got just a couple more questions.
It's cool.
Would you be down to, you know, work with, you know, like, these artists, even if you listen to their music or not, or whatever the case may be, would you be down to work with them if they reached out?
Yeah, because, see, this is what I learned, dog. This is the thing, bro. So, I got this from a song that I just heard, and I was kind of trying to figure it out. Like, why did he do that? If you heard the J. Cole and, what's the 21 Savage song?
Yeah, yeah.
Shit hard as fuck, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
So, but you see how Savage was on there. You see what type of artist Savage is, right? But you see how Cole come on there. See, I be on some spiritual shit too. So, like, even though Savage and Cole is like on two different ends of the spectrum, like, Cole come on there talking that, you feel me? Like, nigga, he talking that shit that move niggas' souls. You feel me? but on some gutter shit. So my shit is like, yeah, if a hood nigga want to pull me on the track, yeah, but I'm not going to, I'm going to put the medicine in the candy, bro. I'm going to still talk my swaggy shit, but I'm going to tell you some shit that I'm on right now, though. I ain't going to just try to do what the young nigga doing, or whoever the nigga, you know, whoever it is, if he young or old, I'm not going to do what they doing to try to compete with them or keep up with what they talking about. Because I used to do that. I used to be like, oh, if I'm about to jump on a song where I know a nigga really talking that street shit, I'd be like, oh, I got to talk some real. I got to tell these niggas what I really know out here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Nah, you got to really speak your truth. Like, nigga, tell these niggas what you really be on. Talk about, nigga, you drinking that chlorophyll, nigga. You feel me? Like talk that shit that they ain't hip to. Because now you gaming, niggas. I call myself a gamer, bro. If you go on my Instagram, my shit ain't no musician. I'm a gamer. So I'm going to tell some niggas some game, but some positive game. Oh, nigga, you feel me? Like I said, nigga, tell them niggas about how you be drinking that chlorophyll and that silver water. You know what I'm saying? How you be, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you wake up, you meditating and declare, you feel me? Like all that shit that really be helping me. You know what I'm saying? But you can, but like I said, put the, on the business aspect, because you don't want to be, and this the music business. This is what I had to learn. I had to separate the music business from the actual music, because the music business is what you want to make money doing. The music is what you love doing. You feel what I'm saying? So if you just love making music, just make music and never put it out, or just let your friends and family hear it. But if you want to be active in the music business, you have to know how to monetize. You see what I'm saying? So if I want to monetize, which we do, we all want to get a bag. All right, I got to put the medicine in the candy. I can still be me, talk my shit. But guess what? I still want to uplift too. You know what I'm saying? So I want to put some positive shit. So to answer your question in the song, yes, I would. I will do that. I will jump on the song, even with these niggas talking about killing and all that shit, because I know it's a way. If somebody might hear that, not my verse on they shit, and it might touch them in another way, that person might be, you know, taking them this way, but I might take them this way with my verse. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. That's dope. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to say that I see, but it's dope to see somebody that's even, because some people get to a certain stature within that, you know, they career, they name and everything, and then won't work with motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying? Or feel like they too big or whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? Especially for the scene in the city, you know what I mean? I feel like, I know, I ain't going to say I know, but you know, because I don't know all the dynamics, quote unquote, politics and everything that go on, the reason why some people don't work with each other. But I think collectively, because we always hear that phrase, oh, if motherfuckers fuck with each other, like the A, you know, the city would be bigger.
Yeah.
But it seemed like, bro, it's maybe.
Bro, I didn't try to fuck, bro. Personally, like me, like you could ask like any of these niggas around the city, dog. Like when I first met Vezo, I never knew who he was. I never heard a song who Vezo was. You feel me? I came up, my man Muster called me. Muster used to manage him, I guess, or be a part of his management team. He called me, said, Dusty, can you do a feature for me, bro? Now, usually I charge niggas for features, but sometimes I don't. Like, it's just off the strength, nigga. If I'm vibing with you sometimes, if I got a chunk on me, I don't really care about the money. You feel me? But I didn't know who Vezo was, bro. Never heard of him, never seen him before a day in my life. They called me, I drove to the east side. I might have been with my man, but I think I was by myself. Pulled up, did the verse for him, bro. And then they tried to give me some money. Mustard tried to give me some money. I'm like, no, bro, I don't want no money. You feel me? Never knew who this nigga was, never. But that was my intuition. That was my intuition saying, this nigga gonna be big. This nigga gonna be a nigga, one of them niggas in the city. So, you feel me? It was like, someone was already telling me, don't accept no money. And from that day, me and Vezo just had a certain respect for each other, because he fuck with me and I fuck with him. You know what I'm saying? Just off the strength of that. Like, damn, please pulled up, nigga did a verse, didn't charge me nothing at his peak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I didn't try, and I work with, and my era, the last of my era is probably the era where niggas was on that we not fucking with niggas shit. These young niggas, they fucking with each other now. They all doing songs together. But us, like, when it was me, Doughboys, E-Team, Eastside, when they had they beef, like, niggas wasn't doing songs with niggas. Because, like I said, I was, but they weren't. Like, they weren't reaching and fucking with niggas. But I was. I was the nigga in the city going to fuck with the Eastside and the Westside.
Yeah.
You feel me? So I can always say, nigga, I've been on it, but you know, it is what it is. Like I feel like I'm a gatekeeper around here. Like, dog, like I know niggas be watching me, what I do. You feel me? Cause I always got that. I always have been that nigga to watch. You feel me? On some 100 shit, not to be on no arrogant shit, but I'm that nigga. You feel me? Cause I feel that way. I feel I'm a confident person in myself. I'm not an insecure nigga. So I can stand next to a nigga who got more jewelry on at the time, who got more money than me, and I can still fuck the same hoes as him because I'm just that secure with myself. You feel me? Like, I can always uplift the next nigga, bro, period. Whether you got more than me or you got less than me, I can uplift you because I'm that secure with myself. You know what I'm saying? A lot of niggas just be insecure.
Yeah. Shit, I always, man, I'll be like, man, I wish it was a compilation album would come out just with the artists that rep Finkel.
What they doing it now, like I said, like, all the niggas is working. You see Peezy working with Payroll. You see, you feel me? Like, niggas thought that would never happen. You know what I'm saying? Dope Boys and Team Eastside, niggas thought that would never happen. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people is like, these niggas from the East Side fucking with niggas on the West Side. I mean, it's still little splats and little beefs around here, but, like, niggas who like going, like you, like who really up there, like they, like it's kind of it, that didn't settle down. But I believe niggas just done got older. Niggas ain't no ignorant shit no more. Niggas see the bigger picture. Niggas see it's like it's money in this shit, and it's you know, it ain't really, you know, ain't no really blood get shit like that. So it's like, nigga, let's do it, bro. Let's get this money, dog. Like, nigga, we older, we got kids, nigga. We you know what I'm saying? We got niggas looking up to us. Nigga, let's get this money. Fuck we beefing for. Fuck we fighting and shooting and doing all that dumb ignorant shit for, bro. Like, if it ain't no real problems, nigga ain't threatening your family. Nigga ain't take no money from you, bro. It ain't even. And even if that happened, you know what I'm saying? Nigga got to think twice about that, because then you going to trick yourself off the street. You the provider, nigga, for your whole family. You know what I'm saying? So you got to move smart and be smart with this shit. You know what I'm saying? Of course, when blood gets shed and niggas die, it's a different story, nigga. You can't really hold no nigga back from no shit like that. But I just been learning, bro. Like, I just been trying to, you feel me, get my mind right, learn how this shit, this life shit is, this music shit is, all this shit, bro. This shit chess. Yeah. Check it.
And like you just said, you know, having a fan base that look up to what y'all got going on, seeing them collaborations and all that stuff, you know, that made, just off the simple East versus West, that's been some generational shit. You know, it could maybe over time slowly decrease that type of shit just because, you know what I mean? But yeah, a question I want to ask you, you know, why do you think that people that's not from Detroit are so surprised when they hear artists from Detroit say either they don't put Eminem in their top five or don't, you know what I'm saying, or don't look at them a certain type of way? Why you think, because I feel like people from here understand what they're saying, but why you think it's so much of a surprise for people from not?
This is the thing, bro. Eminem is a great rapper, bro. Like, that nigga is out cold, first of all, first and foremost. Now, it's like who you asking, though. You gonna ask, like, if you ask a street nigga from Detroit, he's not gonna say Eminem. You know what I'm saying? If you ask a street nigga from Detroit, who's one of the greatest, best rappers from Detroit, he's not gonna say Eminem, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's just like me personally, Eminem is great. Would I put him in my top five from Detroit? Yes, I would personally, because I'm a different kind of nigga that comes from the street. You feel me? Like, I'm an artistic nigga that comes from the street. You feel me? Educated nigga. And I love music and I love hip hop and I understand I understand the dynamics of it. But, nigga, a street nigga ain't gonna say Eminem because they don't know him. They don't really listen to Eminem, especially none of these young niggas. So if you ask a young nigga who 25 years old, nigga, Eminem ain't had a real rap album probably. Well, I ain't gonna say that because I don't really know, because I ain't really checked for Eminem in a long time. But I'm talking about the shit that's relevant in the hip-hop world, not all the pop shit he been doing with the rap in it and the mixture, you know what I'm saying, mix of the genres. But the shit he did with Dre, like, nigga, that shit was hard. Like, dude, you can't discredit that. You can't discredit none of that shit. Yeah, nigga, he done moved up. Now he making pop money. But you can't ask no young nigga about Detroit artists. All he gonna name is the niggas who popping in Detroit right now. You feel me? Period. Like, that's, he gonna name them. That's the thing. They asking. Go ask some artistic niggas and go ask some fucking niggas who paint for a living or fucking, you know what I'm saying? Go ask some white boys or go, you feel me? It's different people in Detroit. Like, people always try to make it seem like it's just these hood niggas here, bro. And it's not. It's niggas that listen to rap everywhere, bro. In the suburbs and college students, you know what I'm saying? It's all different type of face and walks of life that listen to rap. And I guarantee you get people to say Eminem. I think the problem is they asking all the new young niggas that's popping about Eminem that never will be connected because he's not relevant in that world right now. And they probably was young as hell when he was. You right. Feel me? So I just think it's about who you asking, dog. That's all it is. Because if you ask a nigga like me, I'm going to tell you Eminem top five in Detroit ever. He's top five ever. You feel me? Period. Like, you can't discredit that man, dog. That man is a serious nigga with that shit. But
do you have a full list, like, put together in your mind of who your top five is? Maybe not in no particular order.
A Detroit rappers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I got a top five, but I would say including me or not me at all.
Not including yourself.
Not including myself. Okay. So it would definitely be Wine and Blade. That's off rip. Top one and two to me. These other three, I don't know which order, but rap wise, I would say M there. I would say Shine, and probably that might be where it ends. Cause a lot of niggas I like, but I feel like, you know, some niggas don't have like great albums. Like, niggas got great verses, great songs, but that would probably be where it stopped for me as far as like that's my top four.
Yeah,
I say that. You know what I'm saying? Just Shine, M, Wine and Blade, but Wine and Blade for sure. One, and I would probably throw Herc in there sometimes and then throw Stretch in there sometimes because Stretch had a great album. Like, he definitely has a top five album too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, we talking albums or artists, but album Stretch will be in the top five for sure. Like, no doubt about it. Like, that Take Money to Make Money album is like, that shit is hard, period. Yeah. But that would probably be, I don't know if I'm missing somebody, but doubt off just you asking me the question like that, like, that's probably, it'll be them four.
Yeah, just off you.
Wine, Blade, M, and Sean. Yeah.
Is there any updates on Wine that you can put out there?
I mean, he's still fighting, bro. That's really just, you know, like, that's the only updates that I, you know, could give you right now. Like, he's still trying to put in new appeals. You know, it's really sad, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's sad. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't talked to Juan in a minute. But I talked to him. I talked to him through people because he talked through the email, through the core links. Mm-hmm. And it's only a certain amount of people you can have on it, you know, connected. And when I was moving around a lot, I wasn't able to hit the email a lot, like a few years ago. So he took me off the email. But I still keep in contact through other people. Like, my man Earl still talk to him through the core link. So I, you know, I chop it up with him through like that. Like, just seeing what's going on with him, you know what I'm saying, through him. You feel me? But he's still fighting, bro. That's what it is, you know. That's what it is right now. I ain't got no updates on him right now other than that. You feel me? Like, he, you know, yeah. He's still fighting.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice, like, your whole tone change, you know what I mean? That must really affected you when that, you know.
Yeah, it did, bro, because like even our relationship, like even when the music shit was going on, like a lot of guys, you know, and you got people that don't know your relationship with somebody, they always trying to, you feel me? Like, be niggas trying to infiltrate, dog, because you so connected. And niggas just be on bullshit, really, for the most part, in my eyes, you know what I'm saying? So, that's my man, though. Like, nigga, 100%, I love the nigga to death, you know what I'm saying? That's my guy. So, I don't feel like no nigga could come in between that, but you know, it be a lot of weak shit going on, bro, that I don't really gonna speak too heavy on because it's real personal, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, just know that's my guy. I still, you feel me, I still reach out every chance I get to see how he doing and what's going on with him. And like I said, that's my cousin's cousin, so we cousins. That's like we family, you know, even though it's like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I still look at him like that, bro. And he a nigga that taught me so much game, so I can never repay him back for that shit, bro, to be honest with you. That shit is serious.
Yeah. And before we get up out of here, you know, what's some of your plans for the next 5 years? Of course, the clothing line and what else that, you know, probably your next 5 year plan.
So what we doing now, bro, we working on, we about to drop new for the summer for BNB3, but the clothing line we working on the fall collection right now. Like, I was doing test runs with it just to see how it worked, but I was dropping hoodies and shit, bro, and like they was just like selling out so fast, like I couldn't keep them. So and I do all this shit by myself, bro, like literally, like I got niggas that can plug and play shit for me, but for the most part, like this shit I be doing it by myself, so it take me a little bit of time to do everything. But we working on the fall collection for the Turtle 150 line, bro. It's gonna be some dope shit coming, bro, like ASAP. And we working on this, I forgot to tell you in the beginning, we working on this new documentary that's gonna drop, Killer Looks, man. It's gonna be about and actually, bro, you can fuck with me on it, dog. Like, it's a documentary about all the killings and the rise of the Cartier brand in Detroit and what it means to Detroit, you know what I'm saying? So we gonna, like, I know a couple niggas that done got killed. I know a nigga who did the killing, you know what I'm saying, about them. You know, me, my album, you know, Buffy's and Benihana's, them Cartier glasses, yeah, if people don't know, you know what I'm saying? So we about to, we're setting to do that, starting in the fall to start shooting a documentary just about the Cartier trade, man, and these buffalo horns and why they mean so much to the city of Detroit, you know what I'm saying? So, especially now since, like, you got the actors and the rappers and all these guys wearing them and shit now, like, we gotta let niggas know, like, yeah, this is where this shit started and this is why I started here.
Yeah, I'm glad you. I don't know, the phone cutting in and out.
No, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm glad you're doing that because I've heard, I'm talking about, I don't even know, I can't even put no number on it. A ton of artists be asked that question, and you know, everybody gonna have it different, but it's like I never heard no one really just explain, like, in detail the importance of why, you know what I mean, culturally, you know what I mean. So that's a dope project to put together.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard, bro. We gonna show, like, I'm trying to get it where, like, we show, like it's even deeper, like, even with, like, the manufacturing of the Cartier, like, where do the buffalo horn come from? Where do, you know what I'm saying? Like, how are these being made? Like, we going deep. Like, it's gonna be like some BBC shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, some Vice shit. Like, we really gonna really put it all on the line for this documentary, bro. Like, this one of my babies that I'm working on. Like, I'm really trying to get into the film industry. You know what I'm saying? But I'm starting off with docs. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to really jump into acting off top. I do if the right opportunity presents itself, but I want to start with these documentaries. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. That's dope. And with shit, well, much, you know, much success and congratulations on all the accomplishments thus far, you know. And for people that, like, once again, you can go ahead, like, if you want to plug your social medias and everything to where people can find you at.
Yeah, definitely, man. Check me out on my Instagram is Dusty McFly, DustyMcFly. The same thing on Twitter with a 41, DustyMcFly41. Dusty McFly on Facebook. Dusty McFly TV on YouTube. And yeah, man, just plug in with me, man. Check out the music. Let me know what you think. Check out the new mixtape that I just dropped, Buffy's and Benihana's 3, man. And thank you, bro, for the opportunity to utilize the platform, man, and just, you know, let the people know who I am, man. This is, to me, this is a real big, man. So I appreciate it, bro.
No, I appreciate you, man. Definitely, definitely. And, you know, at any point in time, if it's any, you know, anything, I'm always open, you know what I mean, to try to help. Not even help, just be a part of, you know what I mean, to try to do, you know, whatever project is going on, you know what I mean? So I greatly appreciate you coming on, bro.